This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this month. Everyone, and welcome to episode 59 of Old TV with a New Twist. I want to welcome my co-host today, my son-in-law Gino, back for his eighth time at the microphone.
Wow. I can't believe it's been eight. It feels like it's only been five, but I'm glad to be back.
I looked up, I said, when was the last time Gino and I podcasted? It was in July, 8 months ago.
It feels a little bit longer than that. It feels like I haven't been watching a great old television show in a while.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about whether or not you have still watched a great old television show. We'll see. We are going to talk about the pilot episode of the show ALF, which was requested by Susanna. Let me just tell you the show stats real quick, because I have to do this. 1986 to 1990, 103 episodes. The backstory is the Tanner family is having an ordinary life until a UFO crashes into their garage, leaving them with a wise guy from another world.
That's pretty much what happens.
That's it. That's it. Straightforward. Now, I always do the characters and the actors because I like to, you know, say, hey, that actor went on to do this and that actor's Betty White and has 600 acting credits.
I was looking at them and I was like, I literally know none of these people.
It's like, who? We're going to breeze through this, okay? The dad, Willie Tanner, is played by Max Wright. He's got 61 acting credits. And here's the thing. All of the acting credits for the first three of them, the four of them, the Tanner family, are all like these little one-offs. No, it was never anything big. Kate Tanner, who's the wife, was played by Anne Shahidan. She has 38 credits. The daughter, Lynn Tanner, was played by Andrea Elson. She has 18 acting credits. She's no Betty White. And then Brian Tanner, who played the son, was played by Benji Gregory, and he had 17 credits. Now, before I go on to any other characters or actors, I have to ask, how did any of these previous people I mentioned get cast? They were cardboard. You could have literally put a cardboard cutout of a person.
You think?
Yes. They were bland. And I don't know if the writing of this show was direct, because I think I'm going to read you some trivia later where, you know, Alf got all the best lines. Yeah. They basically were just setting him up. They were just boring people.
Yeah, they definitely were not noteworthy people, but like I didn't find them to be the most boring.
Oof.
But I could see, I guess now thinking back on it, I could see why people would think that, because there's an obvious star of the show.
Well, yeah, and I think back to other shows of this time, okay, and like we did Mr. Belvedere, and obviously Mr. Belvedere is the main guy, but all the family members were dynamic in a way. They had a thing that, you know, they were interesting to watch. These people were awful to watch. And then Caleb and I did the show Small Wonder, notoriously bad. And we said the same thing about those people. They were just terrible. And this is what this reminded me of. I think these people might have been worse. Yeah. Really, it was that bad. But anyway, the only other person in the show was the nosy neighbor, Mrs. Akmonik.
Akmonik, yes.
Played by Liz Sheridan, who went on to play Seinfeld's mom in the sitcom Seinfeld, who, according to this podcast, Seinfeld is the greatest sitcom of all time. Friends across the table is your favorite. But she did go on to be a regular in one of the best sitcoms of all time. Mrs. Akmonik made it further than any of them. And then finally, Alf, whose name was, do you know?
Alien Life Form.
No, his actual name. Yeah,
oh, Alf stands his for Gordon.
Gordon?
Gordon
Shumway.
Shumway.
Shumway. And we're going to talk about Alf because it was interesting how he was played in the show. The series creator, Paul Fusco, did Alf's voice.
Yes.
And he operated the puppet. So it was interesting how it was filmed because one puppet was controlled by two puppeteers. It was used for all the shots in which Alf was shown from the stomach up. Mm-hmm. Whenever Alf's entire body, including his feet, was visible, a puppet with a human inside was used.
You could definitely tell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was actor Mahali Michu Mazaris, who stood only 2 feet, 9 inches tall, was in the Alf costume.
Yeah, when I was watching the show, you could definitely tell that there's a puppet and then somebody was in the costume.
And to avoid revealing the show's secrets and because of its technical demands, the show was taped on a closed studio set with no audience, which was unusual for those days. And then a laugh track was used to make it sound like it was recorded in front of a live audience. Now, Gino, I actually have experience working with puppets on live television. Did you know that?
I did not.
Me and your wife, the whole family. In the mid-1990s, we went on the live from New York TV show Breakfast Time.
Now that I'm hearing this, I do recall this.
Yes, it was a morning talk news show. It was kind of really well known in the mid-90s. It was on the FX network. And we were in New York and we were the family chosen to go in and have breakfast on the set. And we were there for the whole show and it was absolutely wonderful. But there was actually a puppet named Bob on the show. And he's just all in there. He's, you know, the man's doing the news and he's over his shoulder talking. And we moved around the set. We were sitting on the couches at one time and the host was Tom Bergeron, who went on to do Dancing with the Stars and
America's Funniest Home Videos
and Hollywood Squares. And I danced with Tom Bergeron on that show. We did a little Monday morning dance. And anyway, this puppet was on the set for the whole thing. And in between takes, the puppeteer, who I'm sorry to say was a very large man, would have to situate himself to have the puppet where they wanted it to be when the camera started rolling. And we were sitting around the table at one point around the table and they wanted the puppet to be between my husband and I because we were telling them all about king cakes. They didn't know what a king cake was. And then they wanted the puppet to be talking to us and interacting. He was a great puppeteer, but in order for him to be where they needed him to be, he had to be situated under my chair. And like I said, the man had some girth and every time he moved, my chair bounced because he was so big. He was moving my chair when he was moving with the puppet and it was rather uncomfortable.
What was he wearing? Was he like in like all black or something?
No, he was just wearing a t-shirt and jeans. You never saw him.
Yeah.
It was interesting to work with the puppet, but sometimes annoying. And the poor puppeteer was all over the floor and scurrying around. And it was
like knee pads on.
At one point, Tom Bergeron was over on the other side of the set. And we were eating breakfast on the set because it's called Breakfast Time. And I had fixed me a beautiful bagel with cream cheese and I took a big bite of this bagel and Tom was talking about something and he says, oh, let's ask them. And he's looking at me and he's coming over to put me on camera and I have a mouthful and I spit out my bagel and dropped it on the chair, my half chewed bagel right next to the puppeteer. And I'm thinking, sorry, dude, if I got you with that, I'm sorry. But,
You spit it out?
I didn't spit. No, I just like in my hand real quick.
Really?
And then put it on the floor next to the puppeteer.
You didn't want to just chew it real fast?
I didn't have time. Tom Bergeron was heading across that studio right for me. There was no way I would have choked.
Interesting.
So there's my humiliating story of the day. Okay. Season 1, Episode 1 is the pilot episode titled Alf. It aired on Monday, September 22nd, 1986. That was exactly 36 years, 5 months, and 22 days ago, Gino. On this day, September 22nd, 1986, Gino, who was president of the United States?
The 80s.
You weren't born yet, so this isn't fair, but let's try.
It wasn't the first Bush, was it?
No. But you're close. The first Bush was vice president.
Who was?
Ronald Reagan.
I was going to say that.
Okay. The number one song in the United States was Stuck With You by Huey Lewis and the News.
I love Huey Lewis.
Great song and a great music video. You know that song, Happy to Be Stuck With You?
Yep.
And the number one movie was The Color of Money, directed by Martin Scorsese. Now, the very, very generous and inflated IMDb review of this movie from 1 to 10, they gave it a 7.7. That's a bit inflated.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Now, drinking word for this episode, something we might say the most during this podcast.
I would say ALF probably.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say the most, I hate this.
I hate this. Man, no, I feel like we're way, really? We're on but opposite no, sides but
I
of
thought,
the track.
I thought ALF is the word we're going to say the most. But yeah, I thought, okay, well, good. Well, we're going to, we will pause for a short announcement and we will be back to talk about this episode. I just want to take this moment to announce that if you're not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And in that group, you can find out what's coming up next, find links to watch the episodes of the classic TV shows before we drop the podcast, and you can give us some feedback. Let us know what shows you'd like to see us do. So please look for us on Facebook, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And we're back, and we're going to start talking about this episode that now I believe we may have several disagreements on.
I think it's going to be a possibility. I think we're going to be a complete 180 of each other.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Starts with the parents, and this is obviously we're going to talk about the Tanner family. Willie and Kate Tanner are in the garage. He has an enormous amount of radio equipment. We find out he is obsessed with making contact with other life forms, as one does in their garage.
Well, it always happens in a garage. Any movie you watch about aliens, it's always some crazy person in their garage.
But if your spouse was out in the garage every night trying to contact little green space creatures, they're acting like this is normal. Like he's there trying, anybody out there, come in. Is there anybody on Mars or something he's saying? I don't know. But it's like, you're nuts. Go inside.
Yeah, it's usually what happens. These crazy people, but they're okay. Probably just like, oh, dad's being crazy again.
Yeah. Okay.
Typical.
So Gino, usher us in. What happens?
Oh well, he hears his little monitor starts going crazy, and then the kids run in. And they run into the garage, and they're like, "Mom and Dad, what's going on? The lights, it's so bright outside." And then Alf's spaceship crashes into the garage, and then it shows Alf in his little glass ball, all knocked out.
Gino is demonstrating that, y'all. It looks very good. You did a good job. Okay.
And all I could think about when he was crashed and they showed the doll in there was Stitch's Great Escape Ride in Disney World.
Oh my gosh.
All I could think about it. The opening, like when you go in and there's two aliens in the ball things. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it looks like. Literally the worst ride in the history of life. It's closed, so nobody has to suffer anymore.
I have to tell y'all my favorite story. Gino really does hate that ride. And we were in Disney World and I got the pleasure of sitting next to Gino during that ride. And he was just grumpy and he did not want to be in there. And at one point I looked over at him and he had his t-shirt pulled up completely over his face and his head. And well, I'm like, but he really hates this.
In the ride, Stitch burps hot dog breath at you. And it's really nasty. But it goes along with the show. It's an alien, and Alf is an alien.
It didn't trigger you at all in a bad way? It just
No, just reminded me.
You really did hate that.
Made me think about it.
Okay, so they bring the little hairy creature inside, lay him on the coffee table. Okay, let me ask you this. Is Alf cute or horrifying? Because I can't decide.
He is not horrifying. He's not cute, though. He is exactly in my mind of how someone describes him later.
Okay. Well, you'll tell us when we get there?
I'll tell you when you get there.
Okay. So we already said ALF is short for alien life form. And the family's at odds here about what they want to do with this alien.
They don't know what to do with him. And the little boy's like, I want to keep him like they do in E.T. So I went and looked at E.T. to see how far, like how much before, I don't know how to say this.
Yeah.
When did E.T. come out? And it came out in 1982. So I was like, oh, it must have been alien time. But it's 4 years. It's a pretty big gap between the two. So I thought like, oh, since the E.T. was such a hit, they're going to make this a show about an alien, which it is a hit, but it's just I'm all out of place.
Calm down.
I have to edit that.
Calm down, Gino. Calm down. Start over. Go ahead. What the heck are you trying to say? I don't know what you're trying to say.
What I was trying to say is.
I'm trying to look like I completely am following you, but I am not.
I got all out of whack.
Stop.
All right. So it's a little, the distance between the two. I'm surprised that they made a show about an alien, but it seemed to have worked out.
I have, it's in my mom's useless trivia at the end, but I'm going to say it now, because when word of this show coming out that there's going to be this little alien creature living with this family, Steven Spielberg called up the network and said, does this little creature resemble E.T. in any way?
I mean, I've never actually seen E.T., but I could only assume it was close.
You've never seen the movie?
I've never seen the movie, but I've ridden the ride.
Well, okay, close enough. Right. So like you said, the little boy wants to keep him. The dad is just like, oh my gosh, it's the fulfillment of my lifelong dream. I've made contact with an alien being. And the mom says, yeah, we're getting rid of this thing. And they said, absolutely. Because it could be dangerous. It could be diseased. It could be hostile or have hostile friends. So they're discussing back and forth if they should report it to the authorities. But WWGD, what would Gino do?
I'd get rid of him real fast.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what...
I might even have to let him... I'd have to get rid of him myself. I might not want to talk to anybody. Just say, nothing happened here.
Nothing to see here. Move on. So they're discussing all this about what should we do? Should we call... And even who would you call? Do you call the police? What do you call? NASA?
NASA, the Air Force, whoever is in control of space.
Yeah. Who would I call? But in the middle of all this, Alf sits up.
There you go.
And says, can I make a suggestion? How about fixing my spaceship so I can go home?
Yeah.
And he also asks for a snack. I want a snack. And they said, well, do you want this or this? He goes, you got a cat? They said, you're going to eat Lucky? And he said, well, can I have a cat food can?
Yeah.
So they give him a cat food can. So they're going to decide they're going to fix the spaceship.
Yeah.
Give me one day to fix the spaceship. Yeah.
I'm going to figure out what to do for old Alf.
Yeah. So that's what they decide to do. And then we wake up the next morning. And take us through the next morning, Gina.
So they wake up the next morning and Will, the dad, is taking a shower and Alf is in bed with his wife. And she kind of wakes up and freaks out. So
rightfully so.
Rightfully so. So the husband comes in to see what's going on and he, for some reason, I thought this whole scene was the weirdest thing in the world. He's like, come in the bathroom with me while I take a shower. And he's all naked the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's like taking a shower with Alf. And they're just kind of talking. It was very strange to me.
Well, I think he just wanted to get him out of the bedroom with the wife. Just come here to get him out the bedroom. But, you know, he's taking off his clothes. It was a little weird. So the dad tells him, stay away from the windows. We don't need the neighbors seeing you because they might call and report you. And this is what we're trying to avoid. So, but then they show us the nosy neighbor who, this reminds me so much of Mrs. Kravitz on Bewitched. I don't know if you ever watched Bewitched. There was a nosy neighbor who always saw weird things happening at the Stevens house. This is Mrs. Monique, Seinfeld's mother.
So while he tells Alf to stay away from the window, obviously he's not going to stay away from the window, a troublemaker. And
yes.
He opens the window and who's looking right at him? Miss Osmonic.
Akmonic.
And she sees him through the window while he's looking out the window. Mm-hmm. They're both looking at each other. And she says, honey, is there anything between a kangaroo and an aardvark? And her husband yells at her, stop putting yourself down, which I thought was one of the funnier moments, but that is exactly what he looks like.
Okay. So now the neighbor has seen him, which adds a little danger to this story. We don't want anybody finding out.
And that's what the whole point of the scene in the bathroom is, so that the neighbor could see him.
Right.
But while Will's taking a shower, he's like, hey, Alf, can you hand me something to dry off with? And he unravels the toilet paper roll.
An entire
roll of toilet paper. And I put, is that really what toilet paper looked like in the 80s?
No.
I was like, that is the weirdest looking toilet paper I've ever seen. It was so thick.
Thick.
And it looked like loose leaf.
Yeah.
It was, I was like, all right.
Now, I thought
I hope
that
nobody's
too.
Wiping with that.
No, I think they had to do that to make it.
Yeah, make a big pile.
A big bundle for him to carry over to him. Yeah. That was remotely entertaining. I did find the conversation he had with, because like you said, the dad called him in the bathroom. The dad says to Alf, Kate is really uncomfortable about this. And Alf says, oh yeah, who's Kate? And Alf said, and then the dad says, that's my wife. And he says, Alf says, oh yeah, she snores. That I chuckled at. So I thought that was cute and funny. And then that's over. So let's go on. The funny part has passed. Let's go. They're in the garage trying to fix his spaceship. And mm-hmm. Alf is trying to contact, well, he's supposed to be trying to contact his planet on the radio, but instead he's trying to win concert tickets. Is it concert tickets? What's he
trying
to win?
I think he's trying to win a car. And he was like, oh, I need a person with a driver's license. He was talking with Lynn, who is Will and Kate's daughter. And he's like, you have a driver's license. And it kind of seemed like they were flirting. Does Alf have a crush on Lynn throughout this?
I never caught that. Oh my gosh, Gino.
Well, it seemed like Alf was kind of flirting with the girl.
The girl wasn't flirting with him, was she?
No, but they seemed friendly.
This is creepy, Gino.
I think I don't know if it's a relationship where they want to be together or they're just friends, but it seemed like they were flirting, but I could see that relationship blossoming between Alf and Lynn.
This is
just through that conversation.
An uncomfortable turn.
But like, I don't think she's like attracted to him. I think she just likes him.
We're watching two different things. Oof.
Oh, and in that scene when the dad, they're trying to be funny. And he's like fixing the...
Trying to be funny. That's the operative. Go on.
He's trying to fix the spaceship.
Right.
And like, they're like flirting about the car, apparently.
Stop saying that. You're creeping me out.
And he's like screaming wrench. Like, wrench. I need a wrench. And he like screamed it like 3 or 4 times. And then like finally they hand him a wrench. I was like, man, that didn't hit. That wasn't too funny.
No. So they can't fix the ship. Oh, he sends Alf inside. So Alf and the son, who he is not flirting with, they are watching Sesame Street. And then Alf decides they're going to pop open some brewskis and have a couple of beers.
I did think the scene of them watching Sesame Street was pretty funny. Alf's like, oh, this show is brilliant. This and the letter I all in one day. I just thought that was funny because Sesame Street is kind of like that.
He was being sarcastic.
He was
though.
Being sarcastic, okay. Making fun of Sesame Street. Like, what is this?
So the mom gets mad when she comes in and Alf and the son are having their beer. So she's mad at Alf for being a bad influence. And she says, look, I don't know what planet you're from, Mork or whatever. Now, do you know what that is, right? That's a reference
Mork
from
Mork and Mindy.
Yeah. He was from the planet Ork. But he says Melmac.
Yep.
That was the name of my planet, Melmac. Coincidentally, that's also what it was made of.
I don't know what that is.
Melmac? I don't know.
I thought that was something. I thought that was over my head.
Was it made of cheese, like mac and cheese? I don't know.
I don't know. Because he said his planet exploded. Maybe Melmac has something to do with bombs or something.
Maybe
or maybe
so.
We just sound like the two biggest dummies right now.
That's probably it, Gina. But he says, no, it exploded. And she says, you mean you can't go back home? And he said, no. But if my ship gets fixed, I guess I can start a new life on some desolate crater-filled asteroid, spending the rest of my days fending off gamma rays. So he's smart.
Yeah, but he's showing emotion. He's tugging at the family's heartstrings to try and keep him there because I don't think he actually wants to leave. I think he likes staying there.
And it appears kind of everybody wants him to stay but the mom. I mean, the little boy's got a playmate. The little girl's got a future husband. The dad is just mesmerized with having an alien in his midst. And the mom's the one really that don't want him there. But then there's a knock at the door.
Yes, a military man.
The Alien Task Force.
Alien Task Force. And she looks through the knock on the door. There's a clear window in the door.
Yeah.
There's a window in the door. And they're looking. They're like, oh, it's a military man. It's a military man. We can't open the door. I was like, he's looking you in the eyes. You have to open the door.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. And Alpha's standing right next to her. I mean.
Yeah. She's just like off to the side.
He said, because, they never mention where this show is set, like what town they live in or anything. Mm-hmm. But he said he's from Edwards Air Force Base, the Alien Task Force. Mm-hmm. And Edwards Air Force Base is in California, so I have to assume this show is set in California. So
makes it easy for them.
He has received an anonymous tip that they are harboring a space creature.
Yes. So they asked who gave, like, where did that tip come from? And he said... Oh, it's strictly
Achmonic,
the neighbor, but anonymous.
So but, we know that because Alf didn't listen to Will and got in front of that window, Miss Achmonic saw him and called.
Yep. So he's asking if there's an alien, the military man, he's asking if there's an alien in there. Kate, the wife, she says, well, what would you do with the alien if we had one? Mm-hmm. And he explains how they would do all these tests, like do everything crazy, rip his legs off. And they were just saying all kinds of crazy stuff.
I wrote the whole thing down.
Okay.
In the lab, we would see how he responds to intense heat, extreme cold, high voltage, toxic substances, pain, sleep deprivation, needles, and dissection. And the lady says, why don't you just pull his toenails out? And the man says, you didn't let me finish.
And this goes along what you were just saying, how the husband seems to like want to keep him. The little boy wants to keep him. The daughter wants to keep him. And now this is making the wife with the military man come and saying, oh, we might want to keep him because I don't want to subject him to all this torture.
Yeah.
So she's kind of feeling love for him.
Or concern. So mom becomes a liar pants on fire and says, no, we don't have a creature here. So Alf is staying and we have a show. The next scene, it's late at night and Alf goes into the garage with the radio and he's trying to contact Melmac and all of his friends. This was...
You teared up.
No. Well,
how could you not? Well, I didn't actually tear up, but I thought it was sweet. Because he goes on to the little thing trying to connect with his people, trying to get in touch with his planet, saying all the nice things about the family he's living with and how he misses those his friends. And then he says we can eat their cat if they come and join him. But nobody responds. But while he's saying all these nice things about the family, they walk in and hear him say all of this. And it just makes for a great, sweet ending of the show. And it's just like, oh my gosh, we're going to go on for 102 episodes and be a great show that everybody talks about for the end of time.
Okay, the little... Gino, what has come over you? Just a real quick tag scene at the end is like the family sitting down to dinner. And he's at the head of the table and he's commanding the table. Yeah, he's telling jokes, cracking them all up like he's... totally assimilated with this family. Everybody's laughing at him and that's it. I mean, it's
they do make a weird comment about Lynn, the daughter's pajama party, and Elf, he raises eyebrows because he's in love with her. Kind of making that up, but they did say something about a pajama party
because I didn't catch any of that. Okay. So that pretty much ends the episode. And before we go on and discuss trivia and things like that, Gino, is there anything in your notes that we haven't covered?
I have one thing in my notes that we didn't really cover. It's not really to do with this actual episode. It's to do with the unaired pilot of this show.
Okay.
Did you know that there was an unaired pilot of the show?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
I did not.
Wow. If you think this episode sucked, watch that one.
Is it the same actors and all?
It's the exact same show, exact same actors, exact same everything, but they're missing certain things from the episode, the actual pilot. They don't make you feel anything for Elf. And then at the end, there's no Elf message to home.
What?
There's no message to home where he's showing emotion like he likes the family. None of that's in the episode. It's literally he crashes, he's there. They're like, hey, can we keep him? And that's it. It was nothing.
Maybe that's why it's unaired.
It was unaired. I was like, I gotta watch it. And I watched it and I was like, holy moly, this is bad. Because they made no emotional connection to anyone. They tried, I guess, but Alf is in the actual aired pilot. It's very good. They make it emotional enough to where you like the character.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds awful. Okay. Speaking of awful, let's give our overall rating of this show. Now, let's remember IMDb gave it a 7.7 out of 10.
Okay. I'm going to stick with the people and I'm going to give it a 7.7. I don't know if it's because I'm like a kid at heart and like dolls or puppet like things. Like I go to Disney World and I'm looking at a dude in a Mickey costume like that's Mickey. But
you can't compare Mickey to Alf.
But I'm just saying, well, some people would.
Mickey is
He's very popular.
I mean, Alf is no Mickey. I said that wrong.
But like, I can see like a preteen in the 80s watching this show and being like, I want to watch this. I could 100% see people wanting to watch the show. I actually did watch like 10 minutes of the second episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know if it's because I'm starting to get into like mystery type things. And there's a little bit of mystery, like what's going to happen to this guy. But it's also like a little campy and silly. I liked it.
Okay. I gave it a 2.
A 2? No way.
It was bad. Absolutely not. It was so bad. You know why? Here's what I like in a show, and I'm going to bring back Mr. Belvedere again, because this was right around the same time. Now, granted, this show has the silly, it's got an alien in it. Okay, Mr. Belvedere doesn't have all that, but the characters seemed real. You believed them as a family. You believed in the interactions. The actors were not cardboard people. Yeah. They were real actors, and it was warm and it was real and the writing was great. I didn't particularly like the writing in this simply because the people just facilitated Alf. And I don't know if it's because the producer or whoever he was did Alf's voice. He considered himself the star. So everybody else got the crap lines and Alf got all the best lines. Did anybody else make a joke? No. Did anybody else say anything funny? No. I don't know, Gino.
So in my like fun facts that I wrote down,
right,
it says tensions were high on the set because the cast did not like playing second fiddle to a puppet. So that makes a little sense.
That's what I just said. Alf got all the best lines.
He did, but like he was the show. So like I would assume that kids would like it. But also in my fun facts, since the kids were so into this show, Alf did not drink beer after the first couple episodes.
I have that in my trivia too. Yep, they made him. The network wanted to stop, or the sponsors, or somebody wanted him to stop. And you just said the magic word here, Gino, that might explain everything and might explain our little dichotomy we have going on here. Kids, it's a show for kids, and I ain't a kid. And I wasn't a kid in 1986 either when this came out. So
I guess.
Although you're not a kid now either.
I'm not
though,
a kid, but I
but
like,
you're a kid at heart.
I like kid things.
Okay. Well, okay, let's move on. LOL or favorite moment?
I really enjoyed when the neighbor called Alpha Kangaroo Aardvark.
Yeah.
And the husband was like, don't talk bad about yourself. Which I thought that was pretty funny. But nothing was like, oh, this is funny. Not, but like, I enjoyed it. I had a smile on my face the whole time.
God. I thought you were going to sit here and say this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever had to watch.
Oh,
I truly did.
Not. Absolutely
I truly
not.
Thought you were going to say that. I really did.
Like, I think like when I watched Bosom Buddies, I think that was more ridiculous than Alf. It was ridiculous,
but the acting was good.
Well, yeah, it had time.
And the writing was good. I just didn't like the way this show was put together. Do you have a favorite character? Yeah.
It's probably Alf.
Yeah.
And he's like the lead.
I said Alf because the family is cardboard. I mean, they're just bland. There's nothing to like about any of them. Mom's Useless Trivia. You probably read some of these.
I probably have it.
The Alf puppet was operated from various trap doors hidden on the set, which made filming more hazardous than a normal sitcom. The cast had to remember where the doors were so they could avoid them. But the lady who played the mom continually fell down the trap doors.
Really?
That sounds as dangerous as Mary Tyler Moore's apartment.
Oh, dude. That apartment was freaking... That Mary Tyler Moore, whoever designed that, is a crazy person. It's literally a 3-foot drop right when you open the door.
It was so funny because you did the Mary Tyler Moore show and you were like, I can't believe that apartment is so dangerous. And then like a year later, we did the Christmas episode and you're like, that apartment is still a death trap. I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, let's see. The next set of facts or trivia I'm calling the guy who played the dad was crazy.
Okay.
Reportedly, during the fourth season, tensions on the set were so high that Max Wright, who played the dad, attacked the Alf puppet and screamed, put us all on sticks. We're all puppets.
Wow.
Max Wright also was so ready to be done with the show that when the final day of taping ended, he immediately cleaned out his dressing room and left the studio without saying goodbye to any of the cast or crew. He was famous for screaming out loud on the set, curse you, Hussein, to the cast and crew, comparing conditions on the set to the reign of Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
Jeez.
He was very unhappy.
He wasn't getting paid enough.
Now, the name of every episode is also the name of a song, and mm-hmm. each is relevant to the episode's plot. So I went and looked up a bunch of the episode uh-huh. titles. They had some called Strangers in the Night, For Your Eyes Only, Jump, On the Road Again, Wild Thing, Come Fly With Me, Baby Come Back, a lot of these 80s songs. But yeah, every episode was a song title. Now that's cool. That's the coolest thing I've said and heard.
I like when shows do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like Friends.
There you go.
They Friends. Always say like the one with, like every episode's the one with this, the one with that, the one with this.
Yeah.
That's
I like
clever.
When they do that. As of 2019, the creator of the show, Paul Fusco, had been working on a reboot, hoping to bring ALF to a new generation of viewers. Please don't. Oh, my God.
Dude, now they could probably be real
no,
good.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Now, with today's audiences, it could be extra raunchy with ALF drinking beer, flirting yeah. with his new sister or whatever.
Really? Now, Gino, you should stop. You need to stop. I just caught that. Stop. You're creeping me out. You need to move to Germany because as of 2019, the show is still a huge hit in Germany.
What's up with German people? Because isn't like David Hasselhoff like humongous in
yeah,
Germany?
Yeah, yeah, he's a big pop star.
They like the weirdest things.
Thank you. John LaMotta, who played Mr. Achmonic, we saw mm-hmm. him briefly in this episode, said in an interview that he thought ALF, now I'm quoting him, was a piece of shit and the worst work I have ever done.
Man.
In 1987, ALF merchandise brought in well over $250 million in sales. $85 million came from the plush ALF figures alone. I do remember this. I remember ALF was kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
In the 80s. It was very popular.
I remember ALF. I've never watched it, but I remember seeing it everywhere.
Yeah. NBC executive Brandon Tartikoff was going to pass on the show after the pilot.
He probably saw the unaired one.
But he changed his mind because his four-year-old daughter loved it so much. Dude, that figures. There we go.
It probably was in the 7 o'clock time slot. The kids watched it, took a bath, went to bed. Mm-hmm. It's classic. It's great. Mm-hmm.
And I always save the most crucial trivia for last. Okay. Are you ready, Gino?
Yes.
ALF has 8 stomachs.
Really?
Yeah.
For 8 cats?
I don't know. Do you have any other fascinating trivia there?
I do, actually.
Okay.
So they would rehearse mm-hmm. their lines and things, and they would use a rehearsal puppet.
Ah, okay.
And he had a name. Do you want to know his name?
Yes.
His name was Ralph, because he's a R rehearsal alien life form. He's Ralph.
That is cool.
So they used Ralph to lessen the wear and tear on the actual guy.
Yeah.
Another thing that I thought was actually really cool, ALF was the first television show ever to be presented in Dolby surround sound.
Really?
Yes. For the kids.
Well, yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I remember when my grandma got that wired in her house. The surround sound.
Really? Just for ALF?
Just for ALF.
Like, if we're going to enjoy ALF, we're going to get to the full potential.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that's all my...
That's it?
Things about ALF.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about the spinoffs.
Awesome.
Because, unbelievably, there are some. This went off the air in 1990, but while this was on the air still, in 1987, ALF... A period, L period, F period, was an animated spinoff, premiered September of 1987, and it's a prequel to this show, which follows ALF's life on Melmac. Animated cartoons ran for 2 seasons. There you go.
It's probably pretty good.
Yeah. Then for the last 2 years of this show, that was 87 and 88. Then 88 and 89, the cartoon changed its name to ALF Tales, and it's ALF and his friends retell classic stories in their own unique way. So I don't know what that means, but I guess.
Yeah, they probably just tell like classic fairy tales and stuff and just show themselves.
Right.
In them.
Then when the final episode that they filmed was intended to be a cliffhanger, because at the time it was filmed, NBC was still deciding whether or not to cancel the show. So the cliffhanger format was intended to help persuade NBC to give the show another season, if only to resolve the to-be-continued ending of season four. They did not pick it up for season five, but what they did do was they did, season five was, it's called Project ALF, and it was a TV movie in 1996, 6 years after the show went off the air, finally brought closure. And they were hoping
maybe. Was it the same people?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if it was not the same. This is what it says. 6 years later, they finally brought closure due to poor writing and the absence of the original human cast. Many fans rejected the movie. And then this was, I remember this in the 80s. ALF, the puppet, guest hosted on The Tonight Show.
Wow. Johnny Carson?
Yeah. And he hosted the Hollywood Squares.
And you didn't like this show.
No.
But yet he's hosting The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. That means somebody liked him. You are in the minority.
I guess. So that led to, in 2004, on TV Land, ALF's hit talk show. His co-host was Ed McMahon.
Wow.
His side, the same guy that was with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
It ran for 7 episodes. He had his own talk show.
Do you know what year that was?
2004.
I feel like I remember that because I remember Tom Green talking with ALF. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought about that ever until you brought it up.
That is everything I have in my notes, everything I have to say, and everything I ever want to say about this show.
I just can't believe you didn't like it that much.
It, you know, we used to do the watchability thing. Will you ever watch it again? No, I have no desire to ever watch this again.
Would I watch it? Yes. Am I going to watch it? Probably not. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can definitely see why people love it.
I agree. This is a great show for kids. So I can see where it's at, and I can see where there's a lot of potential for story. But I also think the show just relied too heavily on set up a joke and give it to ALF. Set up a joke and give it to ALF. They needed more than that.
Well, it was only the first episode.
True, true. So I'm going to say it might have gone on to do better.
You need to go watch the second one.
I will approach it with an open mind. I will be the first one to admit that maybe I just was in a mood. I don't know. I did not like it.
Out of all the, this is my 8th one of these. Come on, ALF was probably my favorite.
You liked Golden Girls. You laughed your behind off at Golden Girls.
I like Golden Girls. Golden Girls is good, but Golden Girls is like an all-time classic. I can go right now to the TV and find it. ALF had its moment. You don't really get good sitcoms anymore.
There is one. Obviously, I love and adore classic TV, and I watch a lot of it, and I would watch it forever. I haven't watched a new sitcom in years, but Ted and I, like during the pandemic, we started watching a new sitcom, and it's called Call Me Cat with Mayim Bialik. I enjoy it immensely. Oh. It comes on Thursday nights. It's in its third season. And it's the first sitcom I have watched in years.
The most recent sitcom that I've probably watched was probably How I Met Your Mother. It's very much Friends just hanging out.
You're obsessed.
It's Friends is number one TV show of all time.
Says you.
Top one show.
Got it.
I was going to say it's in my top five, but it's number one in the top five.
Okay.
It's a very hard thing
all
to pick.
All one needs to know when approaching Gino is Friends.
Friends is by far the best show.
Ever.
Way better than all the shows that we've talked about on this podcast.
Okay. With that, we'll close this because I don't want to get in a fight with my son-in-law here, people. No,
except for ALF. ALF is the best show ever made.
Well, Susanna, I hope if you were listening, that you're not mad at me. I didn't enjoy it, but I see where it could be enjoyable.
It was very enjoyable.
And I trust my son-in-law very much in his opinion enough to say, I could possibly be wrong.
I don't know if I said could. I said are wrong.
Thank you for correcting that. All right, Gina. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank
I appreciate it.
Me.
Believe it or not, I had more fun doing this podcast than I did watching the show.
Oh, come on.
So thank you for making
that
happen.
I'm glad you had fun. I had fun.
Okay. Well, good. And don't wait 8 months before you come back again, Gino.
I will try my hardest.
Okay. Sounds good.
Alrighty.
Say bye.
Bye, everybody.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.